Well, good morning and welcome to all to our service this morning. Looking around, I think we do see one or two folks who are visiting with us, so it's good to have you with us. Welcome. We hope you enjoy your time with us, and do feel free to stay for a cup of tea or coffee after the service and a chat with us. Several notices today, one or two I want to draw attention to, and one or two that are not actually mentioned. And the first thing that's not actually mentioned is the, and that's my fault, is the barbecue this afternoon at Urquhart, community barbecue. That's at 5 o'clock, and we are, it's a community event, but we're also using it as an opportunity to advertise the after-school club that our children's worker, Tim, is going to start very shortly in St. Margaret's Hall. And at the end of the evening, Atty's going to round things off with a short devotion in St. Margaret's Hall. And something that was said to me this morning, and that was well said, is that it may be that some people would like to go to the barbecue but don't have transport. Well, if you'd like to go to the barbecue but you don't have transport, speak to me, speak to your own elder, speak to any of us, and we will get you there, and we'll get you home again afterwards. So if you need a lift, let us know. Next Sunday, Connect restarts, and we're looking at some of the people of God from the Old Testament. So it's Hannah we're thinking about next week, and the promises we make to God. And then after that, that's at 9:30, and after that we have our service at 11 o'clock, which is a communion service next week. The elders' duties for next Sunday, something got out of phase, so if your name is down on the elders' duties and you were taken by surprise, ignore what is in the bulletin and just go by what went out in the rota. And if you're not sure what went out in the rota, there's one pinned to the notice board at the back of the church, so you can check it there. Right, what else have we got? There's a note right at the end of the insert sheet about Moray Council consultation about sex entertainment venues. Now, there are information sheets on the back shelf beside the Life and Work magazines, and that gives more information about this. The only thing I would say about it at this stage is this: if the Moray Council is going to make up its mind whether or not to go down the route of licensing such venues, if it doesn't, then there is absolutely no control on such things in the future. So it's probably a good thing to make our views known. So all the details are on that sheet, including the website, the link to the website, where you can fill in your responses to the survey. Two other things, briefly. The first is that Belly Church are running an Alpha course. I'll put this notice in the back at the end of the service. It's Wednesday evenings. It actually started this past Wednesday, so sorry this is late. It's in the Walled Garden Cafe at Gordon Castle, Fochabers, 7:30 to 9:15, Wednesday evening, and it's free. You don't get much free in the Walled Garden Cafe. And the last thing, and I realise I've left it through in the purple room, was a little note that came from Kirsty Cumming to all of us, just updating us on what she's been doing over the past year. She's spent a year now in her new role with UCCF, Universities and Colleges Christian Fellowship. She feels that it's been a learning experience the last year, and she's much better set up now for her second year, supporting students and trying to share the good news about Jesus with the students. And she wants to thank us all for our support for her as we share in her work with her together. I'm sorry I don't have the thing to read out, but I'll put it on the welcome table at the back so you can see what she actually said and not my poor paraphrase of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Alistair. Good morning, everyone. Before we continue with our call to worship, we're going to divide the congregation into group A or side A, this side, and then only this wing, side B. And as part of our call and approach, prayer approach, side A will start the prayer, and then obviously, as indicated, side B will respond with that. Let us pray. To all who are thirsty and to all who are weak, the Lord tells us, come to the fountain, dip your heart in the stream of life, and let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of His mercy. As deep cries out to deep, hear us pray, come Lord Jesus, come. In You, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In Your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline Your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. For You are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel. For all, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon You I have learned from my birth. It was You who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of You. Let us pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the power and the glory forever. Amen. I greet you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Peace and mercy be unto you in abundance. And when the Lord greets us, let us greet Him back. And this song we would sing from a primary two, I think, back in South Africa. And I thought, what a good echo, our God, our help in ages past. And believers in South Africa, believers in the Church of Scotland, let's call unto the Lord. This morning I thought we could have some fun, but I also gained that seeing that school just started out that we won't have much more than Freddy this morning. But although we are all young at heart and not small kids anymore, I thought we could still have fun. Do you know the old song, the children's song called Father Abraham Had Many Sons? Do you know the song? Yeah. Oh, no. All right. I was looking who knows the song and who don't. Those who said, no, you can be seated for the rest of the song. So I thought we could do it. The words are in the bulletin. Yes, on the paper. Yes, Evelyn, you would guide us in accompanying the song. So just give the first note. It's a D. Da, 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 Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let love praise the Lord. Okay, let's do it again. It's right arm, left arm. I know it's very confusing at the end, but it's for the first verse. Let's just do that. Thank you. Had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord. Right arm, left arm. All right, great. And when I thought again of the song, sorry, I thought, all right, but this is quite gender specific. It's Father Abraham having sons. But I saw some of the daughters were also singing this morning. So just to be inclusive, I thought, Willie, can you just have it a bit down? It's just, thank you very much. Is the sound okay? All right, thank you. So just this morning, I thought, reading our Bible text, and maybe you've gained at this stage that the last three sermons came out of Luke, and it was about eating at the table and being all inclusive. Today's sermon is on the same theme, carrying on. And I thought, well, let's try to sing Father Abraham Had Many Daughters. So I know it doesn't fit in, but let's just try it. It's called, I think it in our language is called a melisma. When you push something in that doesn't fit. So if I can ask you, those who can, let's stand. And when we come to Father Abraham has many daughters, I want you to point out some of the daughters and the sisters and the moms and the grannies and the aunts you see within the congregation, and just have the feeling, yes, we are all part of this, and we are all invited to the table of the Lord. But we'll continue. It's right arm, left arm, right foot, left foot, chin up. Sit down, and then it's the end. This is fine. That's our children's address for this morning. We see if you had your gym activities, and let's praise the Lord. So it works like this. Father Abraham had many daughters, many daughters. All right, you get it. Here we go. Thank you, Evelyn. We're going to do the daughter one. Yes, with the intro. Thank you. Father Abraham had many daughters. Many daughters had Father Abraham. But so are you. So let's all praise the Lord. Right arm, left arm, right foot, chin up, sit down. Yes, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, what a wonderful blessing to know that we are all included. You love everyone. And when we ponder on your word today, that we may know that you love us, regardless of gender, regardless of our background, you love us as we are, and we are included in your kingdom. And therefore, we ask you the week that we may go in ahead, that you will guide us to see people in the same way, included at your table, included in your kingdom, as creation, as loved ones, your sons and your daughters. Bless us with a bigger family of Christians and fellow believers. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. out of my notes. Here we go. This morning I thought just to have the law as act of thankfulness and paraphrasing Exodus 20, and you can just sit and listen to it. I am the Lord your God, which brought you to the land of Canaan, the land of milk and honey. Worship me as your God, one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Love me, and I will always love you and all your loved ones and descendants all over the earth. Use my name in an honorable way, and all the glory is mine. Enjoy the Sabbath, because it is a gift unto you to take a rest, to celebrate the grace and spend time with your loved ones, a gift from me to you. Have respect unto your parents and for every form of life, whether it be marriage, the belongings of others, and the truth. I am the Lord your God, who saved you by grace. Follow these guidelines, and I will bless you. Let us pray. Lord, hearing your law in a different way this morning, it does help me, and I hope fellow believers, to again realize that it's a law of love, of caring, of guarding us. Thank you that you help us to see that you really love us. And may we think of these guidelines and live according to them. It's not about the letter. It's about the love. It's about the relationship. The one you never give up on us. And therefore we thank you. Thank you for forgiving us our sins, our wrongdoings. And thank you that your Holy Spirit is not only around us, but being poured into our hearts, whisper into our ears, our thoughts, and guiding us on better ways, on ways we might have pondered off, just putting us back on the road again. And thank you for your patience with us. And within this, I see your grace as an umbrella covering everything of your love and your care for us. We thank you in appreciation. We bring our song and our praise unto you. And we pray this in your name, Jesus, the lover of who we are. Amen. All right. Thank you, Elaine. Elaine is doing our reading this morning. And as I said, we're just carrying on with Luke 14 as where we left at the end of, I think, verse 13 last week, 13 or 14 from Luke 14, and just carrying on. In the next week or so, next sermon, I will end the theme of Together at the Table coming from the writings of Luke specifically.
The reading can be found on page 1048 in the Pew Bibles. The parable of the great banquet. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I have just got married, so I can't come. The servant went back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there is still room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and the country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.
To God be the glory, giving us his word. Imagine yourself at the table of a very grand host. Everyone wants to enjoy a very good time, a pleasant time. It's a grand setting, and everyone that's present is part of the who's who of the region. Yes, everyone also wants to converse with this special guest called Jesus. And people usually, even in these days, invite someone that's interesting to dine with you so that they would, it's not being told, but to entertain the other guests. I don't know, have you been to such dinner parties where all of a sudden there's someone very interesting and then you gain, it's actually just to entertain the rest of us. So I was wondering if this was the case with the Pharisee inviting Jesus, because we're just continuing, as I said, from last week's passage. Jesus was invited to dine with another Pharisee. And yes, at the end, we hear that Jesus does not behave himself. He actually calls his host and those around the table being religious gluttons, self-centered people. And as we heard last week, actually blown up within themselves. And then at the end of this conversation, when Jesus just hands out the commentaries, another guest tries to save the situation. And I was seeing scenes from back home in South Africa, and I don't know if it's the case in Scotland, but sometimes you get people at a dinner table or that would just tell a very inappropriate joke, and you don't know how to handle it. And someone just tries to save the moment, but what I was thinking of is the master of ceremony sometimes at a wedding. It's usually in South Africa, mostly the friend of the bridegroom, which was invited and had no other job than to ruin the whole ceremony. It sometimes happens. It's not the rule, but it happens. I just think everything lovely goes into this planning of the wedding, the bride looking beautiful, the flowers, everything. And then all of a sudden, this silly guy stands up and tells this inappropriate joke. And everyone giggles. I see reactions here between us now as well. Everyone giggles because you don't know how to hide, not your shame, actually his inappropriateness. And exactly the same happens here. Jesus is not telling a joke, but Jesus is in the setting at the table, not following the etiquette of the evening. And then this other guest stands up and tries to save the evening by saying, well, luckily, or as the text tells us, blessed are those who sit at the table of the Lord. And he wants to just wipe away this commentary of Jesus. But he underestimated Jesus quite seriously, I think, because Jesus just takes it as good bait. And Jesus carries on with his point he wants to make. Jesus wants to give us and the readers and the listeners there, a perspective of who God is. And that was our question for the couple of a few sermons the past Sundays. And he's telling us it's about the heart of the Lord. It's about how relationships develop and how the Lord really loves people. And then Jesus tells this parable, which we read today, about the banquet, the great banquet. And we don't need to reread it or rehear it. We hear that a lot of people got invited to this lovely dinner. And the man in the parable is obviously referring to the Lord himself, to God himself, inviting the people that is supposed to be invited. And then they all have excuses, very legitimate excuses. I mean, the first one had new oxes. I mean, it was a farmer. He was quite busy. He couldn't come. And then we have some more excuses. The one that got to me was the people on honeymoon. How could Jesus think that people would turn off their honeymoon to join a dinner? But Jesus actually tells the people, yes, just remember, whether it's your farm, whether it's your wife, whether it's your husband, doesn't matter what it is, it's still a gift from God. And the priority is the host of life. And do I accept the invitation of the host? Or is there other invitations to my excuses? Is that more of a clear ringing in my ear? And then we can fill in all the excuses we have today. I was thinking maybe, I know in South Africa we need to do our tax, what do you call it? Returns. Tax returns. You could be so busy with doing tax returns. You could be busy with work. You could be busy with family. We do have our excuses. But the question is again, do we see beyond that? I don't tell you this morning to neglect any of your priorities. But the question is, who's my first priority? Do I remember who gave me the money so that I could return a tax refund? Who gave me my family? I wouldn't say who gave me my problems, but who gave me life to enjoy. And that's the setting of Jesus Christ. And then obviously we see in the parable they have their excuses. And then Jesus says, all right, but let's extend the invitation then. And let's invite those that are crippled and that are lame and poor, etc., etc. And in the Luke gospel, I would say, and I might be wrong, I must just go and recheck and you can test me on this and come back next Sunday and tell me, listen, I found something differently. But in the gospel of Luke, I see this is the very first beginning of Luke where he crosses the border, where he extends the grace of God. Because if we would compare this listed people, the lame, the crippled, the sick, the poor, they would not be on the list of God in the Old Testament, in the Jewish law, according to Leviticus, I think, 19 till 21. If you were left-handed, who of you are left-handed? Any left-handies here? Don't be shy. All right, left-handies there. Any men without long beards here? All right. anyone with spectacles with glasses on here, with a poor sight? All right. Maybe someone that's widowed, maybe someone that is a single woman, and the list goes on and on. Actually, that was part of the list of who would be invited here by Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of Luke, this is the first barrier, as I said, which Jesus crossed by saying, but before God, when I invite you to the table, there is no boundaries anymore. There's nothing about people that are clean and unclean. The old laws is not disappearing, but I'm bringing the law of love. And it's a law of a relationship, of accepting the invitation to the table, regardless of who you are. And interesting enough, when they came, or when these people that got invited came, again there was some more space at the table. And then we hear the invitation again going out. And I didn't know this. I read this 2 weeks ago in one of the commentaries. Which, am I speaking too fast today? Are you with me? Sorry. I just thought, sorry. I read that the cripple and the lame would be called. But then The one commentary, theological biblical commentary, said the closes, like we would find in Scotland in the high street, some of the closes would really be closes behind closes, which you'd struggle to get around the corners, and that would be the people that would not be allowed, not even the listed people, that would not be allowed to even mix with anyone. They would be hidden away, and even they are invited. They are to be called. And interesting enough, when we see Jesus addressing this, the tradition back then, and this I also discovered, you'd be invited, you'd have two invitations to a great banquet or a fancy dinner. The first one would be a save the date as, do you have that? A save the date? I'm inviting you next week, Tuesday, 7 o'clock, remember it. But then when next week, Tuesday comes, half day or late afternoon, the second invitation, which is just a reminder, the food is ready, come, would go out. And I found it very interesting, if we go within the context of the Pharisee being Jewish and the rabbinic background, the first invitation would be that of the Old Testament, of the covenant to the Jews. Come, you are the selected few. Come to the table. But then the second invitation comes through Jesus Christ himself, and I would say to us as being part of the second covenant, saying, come. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you've done. The new covenant within me invites everyone freely. And that's the second invitation. And I think to myself, it's a wonderful invitation. Just to accept it and to come. So what do I gain from the text of today, Luke 14, from verse 14 on, is that God shows us that with who he eats, tells us that his covenant is expanding. We had that 2 weeks ago. That we are surprised by who he allows and invites to the table. And the third thing is, there's always some more space at the table. Always space for grace at the table. And grace being the love of God, the invitation of God. Earlier the week, I had the opportunity to have a hike with, may I mention your names? No? Yes. All right. Mention Ethel and Margaret. It was lovely. I don't know if their company was that good, but I enjoyed it thoroughly in the end. And we had a very good conversation the next day, asking ourselves about certain theologians, which is of the opinion that everyone gets to go to heaven, everyone gets saved, and everyone will be redeemed. Which is a nice concept, is it not? It's lovely to know everyone would go to heaven. But this passage helps me in saying, Jesus doesn't tell us that. It's hard, but it's actually plain logic. Jesus says at the end, but those that did not accept the invitation, they would not be welcome at the feast. It's like Alistair and I, if we were very good friends, and this is my analogy or my metaphor, we are very good friends, and Alistair puts in everything from his side in the friendship, but I just don't contribute to that friendship. Alistair tries his best, he communicates, but I'm just, it's fine. Yes, I'm your friend when I like it, Alistair, but it's fine. I mean, it's not going to last long from Alistair's side. He will try. And I see the same in this invitation. If I don't accept the invitation now, what would be different in accepting it later? And why would the friend of life accept me later? He's inviting me while I'm here over and over and over again. Come. You don't owe me anything. Come sit at the table. Have a rest. I'm inviting you to the meal. And that's the invitation, come, come. It's not a cheap grace. That's what I wanted to say. I think we are all invited. And we can all sit with ease and in forgiveness at the table of the Lord. It's not a cheap grace. That's all I say. It's a loving grace. It's a caring grace. And may we come to the invitation and accept that of the Lord. I hope that... the week ahead, again, when you eat or when you engage with other people around the table, just say a short, quick prayer. Thank you, Lord, that I am invited in your grace, regardless of who I am, my background, sons or daughters of Abram, I'm invited at your table. I also see, and I'm going to end with this, the first invitation, as I said, is the invitation of Israel. It comes, one of the texts would come from Isaiah 25, when it said, the Lord invites all people to his table. And it's a prophetic text. And then when we go to Revelations, again we hear that at the Lamb of God, which is Jesus Christ, we will sit with him at the table of the feast. And therefore I'm glad. I'm glad that we are brothers and sisters and that we may feast together. Regardless if I'm left-handed or my spectacles or my beard is not growing well or not all the sins in my heart is just cleaned out clear, it's fine. Come, you don't owe me anything. Amen. Lord, thank you that, yes, you invite us to the table. And sometimes, as we've heard last week, we stand in shame, regretful not inviting others. Thank you, as we prayed earlier, that you help us with your Holy Spirit to do that, to be more open, to be more inviting, to give more of your love and grace. Thank you that today, again, I could hear and understand that there's always place at your table, that grace always flows in your invitation, and that we may accept that. On the other hand, when the worldly traditions or beliefs wants to tell us that grace is actually very cheap and common, that we may know it's an invitation, and that we need to reply. Everyone needs to reply. Because that's the etiquette of love. Thank you that you accept us for who we are. You see over the boundaries of our background, of our context, and you love us as your own. Bless us this week when we eat, when we engage with our families, our friends, with others, to be blessed ones unto them. May we really bring the goodness of what you give unto us, unto others. Whether it is being returning our taxes, doing work, watching sport, just relaxing, that we may know this is a gift from you. Our family, our friends, gifts from you. We praise you for that. And we pray this in your name, the giver of life, Jesus Christ, through the work of your Holy Spirit. Amen. We can bring our offering unto the Lord. I just want to rectify something if it came over, it was interpreted incorrectly. Ethel and Margaret had a good conversation. They agreed with me on our theology, Ethel, that it's not a cheap grace. And thank you for that good conversation we had. Thank you very much. And thank you for the sound. Thank you. I could see everyone is calm and we could hear one another. Thank you very much for that. I know Alistair already gave the invitation. Look forward in seeing you this afternoon at the barbecue. Hope to see you there. As our closing hymn, no, it's not our closing hymn, before our prayers and for the future, we'll sing 484, Great God, Your Love Has Called Us Here. Also a prayer with regards to our message this morning, and after that, our prayers for the future and intercession.
Just in case you were wondering, today is St. Bartholomew's Day. And he is the patron saint of, amongst other things, farmers, of which we have one or two, butchers in Lambride, plasterers, house painters, of which I'm sure we are many, both male and female, and tailors. I think of Bill Barcrocken here and how his time in the Second World War. So St. Bartholomew was, it's his saint's day today. And I just thought it would be something to consider. He was a man who was horribly, horribly crucified. And he died for his love, and he died for his faith. And I suppose I'm saying it, I wonder if we would do that today. So let's ask that God will give us the strength to stand up and witness for our faith, be we a plasterer, a farmer, a house decorator, whatever. So let's pray. In our prayers of intercessions, let's start by thinking about all the churches and congregations in Murray. There are churches in Murray who do not have a resident minister. There are churches in Murray who are small in number. There are churches in Murray who are struggling to find where they will fit in a world that's rapidly changing. But there are also churches in Murray who are strong in themselves, who are strong in their faith, who lack an evident leader, but are nonetheless led by God. This weekend, the world leaders are meeting in Biarritz for the G7. There are lots of conflicts in the world, between leaders, between nations, between individuals, between segments of populations. And it does seem that sometimes we lose sight of where God's leading us. God wants us to be one in us, or one with him. So let's pray for the world leaders as they carry great responsibilities for our futures and our children's futures. We have national leaders, the Queen, the Prime Minister, the First Minister, all the members of the government, the governments, all the members of the local councils, people who have different levels of responsibility. A lot of them, they take it on because it's what they want to do. So we ask that God will bless them and strengthen them in the good work that they do, that God will guide them, and that when we are critical of people as individuals, we remember that God has appointed them and God will be with them if we pray for them. There are many people in our congregation who need our prayers. The ones who are in evident ill health, in evident sickness, but also those ones who are quietly getting on with their lives, but sometimes with a great burden of which we don't know. And their names are on the back, sometimes in the book. So let's pray for the people in our congregation who need our special prayers today. The young, the old, the ones in sickness, the ones in health, the ones in sorrow, the ones in joy. The ones that everyone knows about but doesn't actually remember to pray for. We ask that God will bless them and that his peace will be upon them all. We've spoken about the barbecue this evening, and our hopes and our prayers that people will come, not just people from the church, but people will come from Urquhart just to see what's going on, and that we'll make them welcome and feel wanted the same way as Christ has made us feel wanted and welcomed. And now a moment of silence for you to bring your individual prayers before God. And I'd like to conclude our prayers this morning by reading this prayer. Teach me, good Lord, to serve thee as thou deservest, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward, save the joy that I am doing your will. And I'll finish with a prayer. Almighty God, who has given us grace this time, together to make our common plea to you for all good things coming from you, and that you have promised that when two or three are gathered together in your name, that you will grant their requests. Grant, O Lord, that the desires and our petitions this morning may be heard by you, and that we may know the truth of you in this world, and in the world to come, life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you, Alistair. I was thinking, do you remember how St. Bartholomew was he skinned, I think? Saint Bartholomew's, the saint of the day. Yes. I'm not sure. I think they took off some of his skin as well. Yes, and if I recall, in Freiburg Cathedral, the Roman Catholic Cathedral, all the saints are, there's statues of all the saints, but then all of the saints is bare feet, except him. And just to show respect, they had shoes on. In Afrikaans, it's totally a different word, Bartholomew's. So I struggle with St. Bartholomew. Yes, I just thought, yes, someone that gave up their life so that others may sit at the table as well. Yes. Our last hymn, One More Step Along the World I Go. Let's sing that as praise to the Lord.
Thank you.
The Lord will set out before you to prepare your way ahead. The Lord will be at your back to shelter you from the onslaughts of evil, and he will be beside you so that he will keep you in his loving arms. He will be underneath you to pick you up the day when you might struggle or fall, and he will be above you to bless you. He will dwell within you so that you may live from his love, his grace.